sang Together We Seek Thee, and also Let Every Soul Be Filled. One of the things I think about is that it is really our choice. The same thing is heard by many people here, but it is our choice as to what we do with it. If you wish, turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Some verses from Luke 4 and 5, we will notice that not everybody responded the same to the Lord Jesus. And I've sometimes spoken on responses to the Word of God and contrasted a father and a son. There was a father who, when they found the scroll, was horrified. Maybe is the word, at what was coming because of what Judah was doing. And so he sent to the prophetess to find out what will happen. And I think it says he tore his clothes. His son, in contrast, when the word was read to him, he cut it and threw it into the fire. So what is our response this morning to the Word of God? Quite a number of years ago, I noticed here in Luke 4 and 5 that the word power appears a number of times, and I noticed that there's three kinds of power spoken of, and power actually is the way it's translated mostly in the King James, and it can mean authority, or it can mean power as we normally think of power. Comes from the Greek word dunamis, or dynamite, is where we get our English word. Now, so there were three kinds of power that I'm going to note, and there were two kinds of responses. the responses of most of the people we find, let me just page through here quickly. In 15, he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. In 32, they were astonished at his doctrine. In 34, 36, they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What word is this?" And in 5:26, they were all amazed and glorified God and were all filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." But not everybody had that kind of response. He taught in his own city of Nazareth. And at first it seemed like they listened, but then when he talked about no prophet being accepted in his own country and how in the days of Elijah, or was it Elisha? It says Elias here, that it was Elijah, I think, that the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. There was a great famine, and he was sent to a widow of Sidon, not an Israelite, and also talked about Naaman the Syrian. And then what was their response? 4:28, and they all in the synagogue were, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, and that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst, went on his way. And obviously, because his time hadn't come. and then there was there was that response, and there was in 5:26, the scribes and the Pharisees were saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies?" So there are two complete contrasting responses here. But since I was kind of focusing in on the word power, notice in 4:1 and in 4:14. First it says, Jesus, being led of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then in 14 it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now what happened in the meantime is the devil came and tempted him with several temptations, and one of those being that he said to him in verse 6, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it." Now, to what extent it was his, not here to discuss this morning, but he said, all this power, all this, and in that case it's authority, will I give you if you fall down and worship me. Well, Jesus had authority. In Matthew 6, or 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the people were astonished. It says he didn't talk like the scribes did. He spoke to them as one having authority, and he had just got done saying, here's what I've said to you. Now, if you listen to me, your life will be like a house built on a rock. It'll be firm, on a firm foundation. But if you don't listen to me, it will be like a house built on a sand, and it will, you know. God says the rains descended, the floods came, and they blew it away. Now, that is speaking with authority. That is saying, this is the way it is. Well, Jesus, it says in 14, return in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And this is the other thing that I noticed. There went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And let's see, in 37 it says the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And in 5:15 it says there was so much the more there went a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came to hear him. But back to the three kinds of power. We notice the first one in 4:31, and he came down. This was right after he was rejected in his own town. He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them in the synagogue. They taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Again, with authority. So the first kind is he spoke with power in word and doctrine. And then noticing the following verses, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place in the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose up and ministered unto them. And that was immediate power. So the second kind of power was the power to heal and to cast out evil spirits. And then we find in 5:16 is what I called the source of power. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And I didn't jot it down. I don't remember now how the ASB said it, but it was the idea that he would do that on a regular basis. Here it just seems to be saying he did it on a one time. But the next verse there then says, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were the Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them, is the way the King James says. And I'll come back to that in just a bit then. but immediately it follows by the account of the man who was brought by his friends and let down through the roof. And obviously the roof was of a different material than what we have here. They were able to pull it back and to let him down. They couldn't get in because of the crowd. Verse 18, and behold, men brought in a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now, he had an ailment, but a physical ailment, but what did Jesus do first? And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, and by the way, that was a third kind of power then, and that is the power to forgive sins. Scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? And what is the answer? They couldn't literally see with their physical eyes whether his sins were forgiven when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. But if he said, rise up and walk, they could see whether he did or not. And so he's saying, notice what happens here. I'm kind of adding words here, but notice what happens here. And if he gets up and walks, then I did have the power to forgive sins. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, arise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And that one is authority. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before him and took up that whereon he lay and departed into his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Now, back to that verse 17. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, another translation would render it that simply the power of the Lord was present. but whether the better translation is that that's the better translation or to heal them, the issue is that every one of us is sin sick and every one of us does need healing, and some were healed and some were not. Now, he was healed of his sin sick condition. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then he said, rise up and walk. So, again, we are all sin sick and we all need healing. The question is, and the power of the Lord is present to heal. And so the question is, what is our response? And I know that many of us, I trust most of us, have made our initial response to the Lord. But what is our ongoing response? Let's walk with him in obedience. And may what we hear today, may it go into our hearts, and may we respond as we go throughout our lives. Let's kneel.
We thank you, Lord, for the gospel message. Thank you for what the Lord Jesus has done. Thank you that you meet us, each one, at our point of need, and it is ours to respond to that. So I'm praying that we may respond to you today, praying your blessing on each part of the service. And thank you for the opportunity of being together. In Jesus' name, amen.